Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate it. Listen, subscribing, follow the podcast. Here's a YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. And don't forget, YouTube for clips from the morning show, midday show, afternoon show, special shows like the pregame, the postgame, in-game, halftime with Elliot, Players Lounge, Brandon Graham Show, all there on the YouTube feed. Check it out there and hit that subscribe button. So I want to dive in today with the NFL trade deadline coming up now. We're getting close. I mean, we're 6 days away from the NFL trade deadline and only one game to go for teams around the NFL before they have to make this decision on whether or not to buy or sell. So there's a couple things at play here. The Eagles have obviously put themselves back in a position where they look like a contending team again. They're 5-2. They were favored by over a touchdown to win on Sunday against the Jaguars. 6-2 should be the expectation when they hit the trade deadline. If you're 6-2, the expectation is you are a buyer and you got to go for it. And that's where I think the Eagles need to be right now. Now, there's a level to this, and there's a level to how they want to try to structure the next couple of years. There's also a level to what's available. As the way I look at it, Vic Fangio was asked yesterday about the trade deadline, acquiring players, and he kind of threw cold water on it and didn't want to say they need somebody. And he said, well, it really kind of leads to anything special. Well, I remember Von Miller getting traded at the 2021 trade deadline, helping the Rams win the Super Bowl. So I think it could be a huge thing if done right and if the Eagles get the right guy. Howie Roseman's track record has been spotty. We all remember Jay Ajayi and how much that helped in 2017. We also know there's been Jannard Avery, there's been Golden Tate, there's been Kevin Byard, there's been a lot of the guys that don't do much to help team Robert Quinn in 22. The spirit of the Robert Quinn move was great and it was fine, but it didn't work. It's been a lot of those kind of Howie Roseman moves over the years where the spirit has been there, it just hasn't led to anything. So it's a coin flip, but as I view it today, if the Eagles are going to make a move, it's got to be at edge. It's got to be to land another pass rusher. You can never have too many. Right now, the Eagles enter week 9 of the season, 15th in the NFL in pass rush win rate. That's a measure of how often the rusher beats the offensive lineman in front of them and puts a pressure on the quarterback. 15th in pass rush win rate. And that's, including and weighted more with the more recent, which has been going up against some bad offensive lines, some bad quarterbacks, take a lot of sacks like Daniel Jones, Deshaun Watson. You know, coming up, they're going to have bigger tests, Trevor Lawrence. And they had the big test against Joe Burrow on Sunday, and they passed it. They won, but it wasn't because they had multiple sacks and dominated the game that way. They had sound tackling, good coverage in the back end, but now they get Trevor Lawrence. Then they're going to get Dak Prescott. Then they're going to get Jaden Daniels, who's a handful. Then they're going to get Matthew Stafford. They're going to get Lamar Jackson. After that, if he's healthy and still playing well, Russell Wilson isn't a bad quarterback. Okay, so, other than the Panthers game in December and the Giants game in December, the Eagles are probably done facing bad quarterbacks. It's either decent, okay, or really good or elite quarterbacks. That's a lot on the table. And then you get to the postseason. If the Eagles are going to make a run and get to the Super Bowl, they may have to go through some combination of Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, and Jared Goff. And the Goff one stands out especially to me. That's the team to beat in the NFC. That's the most, that's the most prolific offense. We know Goff, when he has time to throw, is electric and dynamic with his ball placement and with his accuracy. And with all those weapons, he makes the right reads 9 times out of 10. They score. I heard Bill Belichick yesterday in his podcast talking about how the Lions are basically impossible to stop. This is a guy that stopped the 91 Bills and Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas. He stopped the greatest show on turf. He stopped the Sean McVay Rams. And he thinks this Lions offense is unstoppable. So the way I view it is, the pass rush for the Eagles has come along here. And it's not as dire of a need as it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, if we were talking about the Eagles as a potential contender. It's still a need. And the way I view pass rushers is the way I view pitchers in baseball. You could never have enough. Just get another one. Just get another body. Throw them in there. Rotate them. Make sure nobody gets tired. As the season goes along, will Brandon Graham be as effective in December and January as he was in September and October? I hope so. He's in great shape. Takes care of his body. But I don't know. Father Time says he probably won't. There's also the possibility here of an injury, which they haven't, knock on wood, suffered yet at that position. If they lost to Josh Sweat, they're in big trouble. He's been their most consistent player at the position this year. It's been Sweat. It's been Graham. You know, you've gotten a lot more lately, and I'm very impressed lately with the emergence of a Nolan Smith. Bryce Huff still looks very just there to me. He doesn't look like an impact player. And Gio Alexandre's just getting his feet wet. So I think they could use another edge. So I've got a list here of six edge rushers the Eagles could go after and should place calls on before the NFL trade deadline next Tuesday. Now, I left out three big names because I just don't think they're going to get moved. I left out Max Crosby. Raiders are not moving him. I left out Myles Garrett. I don't think the Browns are actually going to move him unless they are totally blown away. It feels like a draft night, you know, a March or April move if they're actually ready to rebuild this thing than it does today. I know they're going to do that to their fans in the season. I mean, I would love to have him, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I also took Micah Parsons off the table. He's coming off an injury. The Cowboys are not going to throw the towel in an NFC that, you know, that's still a possibility they can make a wild card. I don't think they throw the towel in. Now, if they lose to Atlanta Sunday in ugly fashion, they're 3-5 before the Eagles come rolling into town. Maybe. Maybe they think about it. I still don't think they would trade Parsons middle of the season, but they might trade off other parts. So I took Parsons out. I took Garrett out. I took Crosby out. I don't think those guys will be moved at the NFL trade deadline. But the six names I have, I think they all could be moved. And the trades have begun. I mean, fast and furious. Deontay Johnson to the Ravens. We're seeing players move left and right. Teams are going for it to try to win the Super Bowl. The six names to keep an eye on. Number one, Trey Hendrickson, Cincinnati Bengals. The Eagles could have pushed the Bengals further towards seller mode. Bengals are big favorites this weekend at home against the Raiders. They're 3-5. They have a Thursday night game next week on tap in Baltimore. Their season will be determined in the next, you know, week or so, the next 8 days. If they can beat the Raiders at home, which they should, and then go upset Baltimore and get one back for the one Baltimore probably took from them in Cincinnati, they're 5-5 and in the mix in the AFC North and obviously for the playoffs, and they won't be trading anyone. They lose the Raiders us and they drop to 3-6. They got to put that for sale sign up because it's not happening this year at Cincinnati in an AFC that has a lot of really good teams. Hendrickson, 7 sacks, 36 quarterback pressures so far this season. $18 million cap hit next year, so they'd have to readjust that money and probably figure something out if they trade for him. I do think, though, if he goes, and I would put Hendrickson probably closer to that list of Parsons and Crosby and Garrett that probably won't move because they probably don't want to upset Joe Burrow and trade away their best pass rusher. But if he does go, I would watch out for the Lions on this one. I mean, Campbell was with Hendrickson when he was coming up in New Orleans. There's a relationship there. He'd fit that really well. Good fill-in for Hutchinson. And if he somehow came back to the Super Bowl, that's quite a dynamic duo. I would say probably unlikely Hendrickson gets moved. Lions probably get him if he does, but he'd be number one for me for the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two, Za'Darius Smith for the Browns. We saw him a couple weeks ago. He's on a one-year deal, 32 years old. 5 sacks already this year, 65 for his career. This guy's a pro. He is a pro pass rusher. He's the kind of guy that I just, all right, plug him in. 3rd and 6, go get the quarterback. 3rd and 8, go get the quarterback. And he does it. I'm a big Za'Darius Smith fan. I think he'll have a big market. It wouldn't surprise me if Detroit lands him. Like, Detroit's the one that could outbid the Eagles for any of these guys because they're more desperate. You know, they have a glaring hole now. Meanwhile, the Eagles have a lot of pieces that are getting better. And maybe they don't feel the urge. I think urgency dictates these things so much more than we think. You know, there's an urgency to the Detroit Lions this season. I don't think the Eagles have that. I think the Eagles probably look at this more as a build back up after falling back down last year. Because we have a 3-year window here with Hurts, Devontae, AJ, you know, what we've assembled on the offensive line with Dickerson, Mailata, the young defender. So I don't know if the Eagles are going to fall over themselves to make a move, but some of these moves, they don't have to. They can make a smaller move and then let it become a big one. Smith's one that could serve both masters. All right, so he's number three. Number four is Azeez Ojulari from the New York Giants. He's a good player. 24 years old, went to Georgia, so he fits what the Eagles have here on defense. He has 6 sacks already. He's a free agent to be. So that could impact what the Giants are able to ask for him, what a team is willing to trade for him. He's trending toward getting paid a lot of money on the open market. I think he's next year's Bryce Huff in terms of free agent interest and money. You know, he already has 22 career sacks. He has 6 this year. Let's say he ends the year with 10 or 11 sacks. It's free agency, 24, 25 years old, a Georgia kid who's emerged and really filled in nicely for the Giants with Thibodeau out. And so, yeah, since Thibodeau went down with the injury, he has been incredible. He's got 6 sacks in the season, 5 over the past 3 games. 14% pressure rate is outrageous. I think that he's a guy that teams will look to trading for with the idea of extending, maybe like last year's Montez Sweat, to trade the Chicago Bears. Man, it was like, what? They gave up a 2 for Montez Sweat? Well, they signed him, and he's a big part of a good Bears defense. That was certainly not the problem before that Hail Mary pass on a Sunday night against Washington. But Azeez Ojulari, in-division trades are weird. Does Shane with the Giants want to deal with the Eagles after basically gifting them Barkley under the Christmas tree? Maybe not. I mean, it might be just like an awful PR look if Shane gifts the Giants a pass rusher and that pass rusher is helping them win playoff games and make a run in the playoffs. It might be too much to ask, but he's on my list for sure. He's number 3. Number 4, Jonathan Cooper, edge rusher, 26 years old for the Broncos. And here's why to keep this name in mind. Yesterday when Vic Fangio spoke, and he talked about how a lot of times players at the deadline don't have the impact you think. It's like a name, it's like a woo, and then it kind of fizzles. Von Miller, I brought up an exception to the rule, but there's plenty of ones that fit Vic Fangio's thought process that it doesn't really work out. And because football is not an individual game, right? You need to be able to, in the game of football, to play with your teammates and to know where they're going to be. It's not like baseball. Baseball, you plug in a Tommy Edman if you're the Dodgers, and you put him in the lineup, and you play him at shortstop or the outfield or wherever. You bat him 7th or 8th, and he just plays his game and he hits. Baseball is a different game. Basketball, you need minutes on the floor. Football, there's so much that goes to the team and knowing where your teammates are going to be. It's harder. So Jonathan Cooper stands out to me because Vic Fangio knows him. Vic Fangio coached him. He was drafted as a 7th rounder in Denver in 2021, Fangio's last year there. 8.5 sacks in 2023, 5.5 so far halfway through this season. He's a free agent to be. Denver is probably not a seller because they look to me like a playoff team. I think Sean Payton is a sneaky coach of the year candidate, what he's done with Bo Nix and that team. I love their defense right now. I don't think they're going to trade him unless they've determined they can't sign him or they don't want to sign him or they don't think he's worth the money he's about to command, and they are willing to trade him. I mean, Peyton's done some weird things before that make you scratch your head. Jonathan Cooper, 26 years old, big player, strong, a little bigger and stronger than the edges we have here. I wonder if that would appeal to Vic Fangio, who, again, did draft him. So he's my 5th name. 6th one, last one, is Chase Young. He's gone on this journeyman tour now. Actually, I have 2 more. So that's number 5. The last 2 are journeyman tour guys that were drafted very high, and it never worked out to where it was supposed to, but there's still some quality there. Different ends of the spectrum. The younger one is young in New Orleans right now. It's a dead team going nowhere. Haven't won since week 2. 25 years old. He's on a 1-year deal, only 2 sacks. I don't think physically ever bounced back from those knee issues he had, the surgeries, because he was a freak when he came out of the NFL draft to Washington in 2020. It just hasn't panned out, but is it worth a flyer just take on a salary for the rest of the 1-year deal? I can't imagine it would cost much. I think it would be. And the last one, Jadeveon Clowney, 31 years old. He's willing to play the run. Only 1 sack so far this year, but the Panthers were never up in games. I think it's a hard evaluation. He could be cooked. A lot of mileage on him. Played the run, so he wasn't just a third down player. But the Eagles could do worse than adding Clowney to the mix. Just to have another body in here. He's probably him and Young are the least exciting right now of this group, but especially Clown, I know, play the run on top of the pass. So the 6 names: Trey Hendrickson, Za'Darius Smith, Azeez Ojulari, Jonathan Cooper, Chase Young, Jadeveon Clowney. 6 names for the Philadelphia Eagles to pursue by the NFL trade deadline at the pass rush position, at the edge position. Look, they've been healthy there. They're getting better in that spot, but the bottom line is this, that they could use someone else. It's like pitching in baseball. It's like pitching. You need more, and there's probably going to be injury before the season ends, so one of these guys, they need another pass rusher, and if they want to go beat the Lions in the playoffs, you need to get Jared Goff on his spot, give Vic Fangio the most options possible, the most step possible to try to get a pass rush on Jared Goff in January, because if they don't have one, whoever the opponent is, and that game is in Detroit, or those games are in Detroit, which they are trending to be, it's going to be very, very hard to see anyone beat the Detroit Lions with the way they're moving the football right now. Again, Belichick's that offense is close to impossible to stop. High praise. Howie Roseman's about to have a 6-2 football team. go at an edge, make a run. If it's a young player, maybe re-sign him. If it's a one-year rental, that's okay too. Try to win now while preserving the future down the line. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast, cursor YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. 6 days till the NFL trade deadline. I can't wait to see what Howie Roseman has up his sleeve. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.